good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, you might think I'm crazy, but thank you. I needed some normal in my life. We're not the children of fear. We're the children of faith. And we encourage one another each and every day. There is difficulties, there are struggles, no matter which direction we go in our life. But we always look to God as our preservation, as our encourager. So thank you, young adults. Thank you, children, for bringing a smile upon my face to encourage us. And may God continue to bless you for that each and every day. This is the third Sunday of Advent. And as you've noticed, we've lit the pink candle, which is called the joy candle. And I'm not going to preach from the text that I have in the bulletin. So you might have to open a Bible and look if you want. Otherwise, you can just listen, as I will not preach that long. But we're going to read from Philippians on the aspect of joy. We're going to go from chapter 4. And we're going to go from a familiar part of Scripture that comes from chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 4. And I'm going to read through verse. Well, let's see. I was going to go to 9, but we'll go through 9. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, reading through 9. Continue, as I said, in Jesus' name. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers or sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you that you sustain us, that you protect us, and you encourage us. And Father, we come to you this morning. We come to you in prayer. We come to you in thanksgiving. And even where we speak, even as those in the Scripture have said, I believe, but help my unbelief, we come to you for mercy. And we ask that you would encourage us and strengthen us. Father, we thank you for what we have witnessed with our young children and adults. We praise and thank you for the gift of life that is found solely in Jesus Christ, and we thank you that there is joy. There is a joy in this world that cannot be comprehended by so many, but it is real because, Father, you have given your only begotten Son in our behalf. Sanctify us in the truth, because we know this word is truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Paul is writing to the Philippians. And he's encouraging them. There's no doubt that they were going through issues, that they were going through struggles, that there was definitely dark times for a lot of people in different generations. There has always been difficulty. Whether or not we want to admit it, whether or not we believe in the understanding of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have a tendency, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, we have a tendency to believe in the evil or the dark side. And that's very true. If you were to turn and discuss with a lot of different individuals and say, well, do you believe in a God? They might say, well, Not necessarily. Not as you do. And that's fine. That's right. But they would not deny the fact of an evilness that can be found. Why are we so quick as human beings to believe in a dark side, but yet we have a struggle with the light side? The good side, if I could say it. Maybe because as human beings, and I happen to be one, we have a tendency to look at the negative. We have a tendency to fill ourselves immensely with the negative. And when we consume nothing but negative, then that's exactly what we think when we look out into the world. But our God is still upon a throne. And he still is powerful, and he still watches over us, and he still encourages us each and every day. But how do you receive that? How can you rejoice? My wife was encouraging me last night that maybe I should just be thankful for the small things. The small things. So I got up this morning, 6 o'clock, had some coffee, and some banagaku that she made the day before. We won't talk about the banagaku, right, Mrs. Aho? And I was sitting in my little sunroom. And I built my granddaughters, because God has blessed me with capabilities and hands and the ability. And thanks be to God for someone such as Ed Savala that gave me a very good deal on some rough sawn. I built them a little treehouse. And on that treehouse, a lady from somewhere that Grandma knows donated some lights that she made with nice little, like, valances on them, or whatever you call those little shades. And I hung them all the way around. And last night, my wife reminded me that I was going to put a little candle in the window of it, because I have a window that was given to me, and I put it in the wall. It looks very cute. I told my wife when she got up this morning, if that thing was insulated, we could live in that. And we would be blessed more than some people in this earth are already blessed. Do we realize the blessings we have? Are we so busy focusing upon only what we are missing at this moment that we miss the blessings of each and every day? I still believe we live in the best nation. I'm prejudiced because I live here, and if there was a better one, then I'd be sad, right? But the point is, we are blessed beyond measure. To stop for a moment and to think of the smaller things that we could be thankful for. And next thing you know, you really could start seeing all of the things that we have to be thankful for. Someone once made a statement to me, and I know it's a popular statement, you know, don't just count your blessings, but live them. To live them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are still the children of God. We still have voices. We still have the ability to do a lot of things that people wish they could do. Praise God. So when you look at this text and really what Paul is trying to say, he says, you know what? He says, turn around. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he repeats this. He says, and I'm repeating again, rejoice. We don't rejoice in all the trials, because that's where people say, well, you know, it does say that when we go through trials, we can rejoice. But how is that rejoicement? How is that happiness? How is that thankfulness able to come about? Because of the Lord. We are able to rejoice because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That no matter what, we are the children of God. We live above the circumstances because we are his children. And he watches over us. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I can hear my wife is singing in her head. He says, but let your reasonableness be known to everyone. How's that working for you? Hasn't worked so hot for me. I've kind of gone to the unreasonable places at times. And I'm not here to make like public confessions. I'm just saying it's difficult, isn't it? But this reasonableness is a patient. Let your patience, let your faith, let your loyalty, let your love be known to everyone. That's what this Christmas season's about. It's about love. It's about loyalty. Not just a loyalty that I may have towards a congregation, not just a loyalty I may have towards a God, but the loyalty that God has towards us, that He has given to us. This Christmas season, it may look different because of circumstances, but it is no different. Christ has come, and He has given His life in our behalf, that in spite of what may be going on in this world, we live victorious. And we are encouraged. He says, so we can rejoice in the Lord. We don't rejoice in what's taking place. We rejoice in the Lord because we know He is our sustenance. He is our encouragement. Can you imagine what those shepherds felt as they were in that field? Because that was probably not the most glamorous job in the world. To be out in the dark, to be out watching sheep while everybody else was warm in their bed. But yet now God reveals to these shepherds that now Christ, the Jesus, is born. That your suffering and your difficulty is over. That the debt that you could not pay is now going to be paid in the form of this child. Do we find that joy? Do we find the joy in the Christmas season as we have the Advent, the expectation of Christ coming? Do we acknowledge that He has come? And do we understand that, yes, as we wait for His second coming, that we are not left ill-equipped? He has given us the power of His Holy Spirit. He has given us the power of His Word. And He has given us, in reality, His love to encourage us each and every day. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everybody. Allow everyone to see. You're not afraid. You're not haughty. You're not arrogant. It's not always easy, is it? I like to pretend I'm a manly man, but I'm pretty soft, actually. I just try to hide it. But I had to admit to my wife last night that I was afraid because I listened too much negative. And I'm not saying to stick your head in the sand. That's not what I'm saying. But there's a balance. There's a balance. Let your reasonableness, let your dedication, let your faith, let your love be known to everyone. Because God is at hand. The Lord is here. We take that sometimes as a threat. Well, Jesse, you better be good. Because God's right here and He's waiting. That's what we add. He's just waiting. It's an encouragement. Are you scared? But I don't need to be. Because God is here. He hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't forgotten you. He is here. Are we looking to Him? Are we seeking for the answers from Him? Are we looking to take the fear out of our lives by Him? I don't always do that. I have a tendency to try to get other people to take fear from me, whether it be media, whether it be whatever it may be, whether it be science. And it doesn't. It is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that can take our fear and encourage us and strengthen us. Just as that angel proclaimed even in the field with those shepherds, I have great tidings of great news for you. I have great news for you. In the city of David is born to you a Savior. And His name is Jesus the Christ. And He's come to save His people. We're not so far advanced that we don't need saving. We do. But don't worry. because the Lord is at hand. And then he says, because God is at hand, because the Lord is there for you, he says, don't be anxious. I'll ask the question again. You're probably getting sick of it. How's that working for you? Hasn't worked so hot for me. Just hasn't. Newsmax hasn't taken away my anxiety. CNN doesn't take away my anxiety. Fox doesn't take away my... You got to name them all because people get upset that you're picking on one. But we don't want to keep talking about news, do we? But that's what happens when we just focus only on the negative of what's going on. Wouldn't it be cool if there was actually a good news network? And I'm not saying, like, I'm saying with good news, happy news. My wife was telling me, you need to stop listening to everything that you're listening to and put some positive in. And I'm not making fun of her. She's absolutely right. But what do you listen to? The scripture. Me? For the last 3 days, I've been taking the Message Bible and I've been playing it in my ear because I need some positive news. And it's amazing how much you can hear. Whatever translation you may like. I'm not saying the Message is something that I would preach from, but boy, it brings it down to modern English where it's written like you would write a grocery list. But it brings me comfort to realize that they went through these times too. They went through difficulty too. But if I was to say to you, what's the scale of your positive influence in your life versus what you're listening to as far as what the world is dishing out, what's that? Where's your meter? My Bible meter was pretty low, but my Newsmax and Parler meter was pretty high, and I'm sorry for that, and I'm sorry for being negative, but God wakens us up. There's no doubt about it. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, he says, bring it to the Lord in prayer. He says, give supplication, and then he turns around. He says, not only bring it to God in prayer, not only asking him to furnish for you or to give to you, he says, but do it also in this way, with thanksgiving. Back to where we started. The blessings. The blessings. To have these young children come and encourage us is a blessing. To be able to have a roof over our heads is a blessing. To be able to have this thing right here transporting to one person is a blessing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we live in a good world. Not that the world of itself is good, but that God is still in control. He says, turn around. He says, with thankfulness. He says, and let your requests be made known to God. Do we share with him? Do we speak to him? Do we openly admit, Lord, I'm scared. I don't understand what's going on. Or do we turn around and say, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what I do have. And I'm thankful. In fact, I ask that you would bless others in the way that I am blessed. But do we allow God to be part of our life and our daily conversation? And then he turns around and he says, if you turn around and you stop listening to the rhetoric of everybody else, if you actually turn around in thankfulness and prayer and supplication, speak with your God, God wants to hear from us. He says, the peace of God, he says, actually that is true understanding. That is true understanding. He says, it'll be given to you. And that will guard your heart. Do you feel vulnerable? Have you felt vulnerable in the last 9 months, 10 months? I'll be blunt. This 2 weeks of 10 months has been too long for me. And I've been a whiner. I've been a whiner. But have I turned it to the Lord? At moments I have. And maybe this is probably not healthy to say as a pastor, but there's a lot of times I get caught up in rhetoric. And I have a hard time believing that some of you aren't the same way. So this message is for all of us, that we would pray, that we would make our needs known to God the Father, and that we would encourage people around us and stop looking at our own life only. Pray, speak, and be encouraged. This is the promise. He will guard your heart. No more vulnerable, but encouraged. No more scared, but at peace. He says he will guard your hearts and also your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a promise that he gives. And he goes, how do you carry on in this direction then? I got stinking thinking sometimes. That's just the truth. I don't know if you ever had that before, have you? Just stinking thinking. He tells you not to do that. He says, finally, brothers, and this is about women too, it's not just for the men. He says, finally, brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever actually is true, whatever is honorable, he says, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is actually praiseworthy or commendable? He says, actually, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Obviously, every one of these things is inclusive of Christ Jesus. Every one of these things is inclusive of what God has done. But if even we stop for a moment in the secular world, can we not say that there are still good things to think about? There are positive things to think about? I think there is. I truly do. And so he says, stop having stinking thinking, but rather look to the positive things. Just like I looked at that little treehouse out there. In all honesty, if you look in some third world countries, that little treehouse is beautiful. And I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying I think we've been so spoiled, and I've been so spoiled, I can't speak for you, that I forget to be thankful for what I do have. Think on those positive things. He says, and what you have learned and what you have received and heard and seen in me. Because remember Paul. Paul was extremely positive. He said that basically in the same chapter that he has learned to live with stuff and he's learned to live without stuff. Either way, glory be to God. And so, yes, he's been given the power and the optimism of the Spirit. There's no doubt about it. He says, but whatever you've heard of me, whatever you've learned that I've shared with, I mean, think about him for one moment, just even on the religious aspect. Paul was one of the most admired Pharisees that ever was. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the highest teacher that was ever thought of in the with the Jews at the time. He had a reputation that would not be questioned. He had the right breeding. He had the right citizenships on both sides. He had everything that he needed to be the boy of boys. And he says, and I count it all as dung, as manure, compared to the supremacy of Jesus Christ. In other words, he knew where true happiness, he knew where true sustenance and true acceptance is actually found. He definitely went through some changes in his life. I might have the opportunity to go through some changes in mine, and you may have the opportunity to go through some changes in yours. But are we going through them alone? Or do we focus on the good things, on the commendable things? He says, you practice all these things, and the peace of God will be with you. Do you want to live in peace in this world? Know you are a child of God. There is no state agency, there is no government that can give you that or take that away from you. I'm not trying to be a rebel. I'm trying to say we are blessed more than we know when we have our eyes set in the right direction. For he brings us tidings of good news and great joy. For unto us a child is given. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for the gift of life that is found solely through Jesus Christ. And we ask, Father, that we would truly rejoice. We ask, Father, that we would rejoice always, and that our faith and our love and our forgiveness would be known everywhere. Allow us, Father, by your Spirit, to be the children of God. Bless our Christmas. Bless our family time. Preserve our health. May we entrust in you in all those areas, and you alone. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.